afternoon. Today is Monday, February the 17th, 38th day of the new year. Happy President's Day, everybody. Joining us this afternoon, Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital. How are you doing?
Great. Great. How are you?
Good. I'm looking at your blue stones there.
Oh, my necklace.
Lapis?
Sure.
Okay.
It was a gift, so I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, well. Never mind. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time. Jennifer's got a new title, new position, so we'll talk a bit about what that is, if it's part of expansion, and how do you do the balance between expansion, market demand, and desire to maintain client contact, kind of the antithesis of getting bigger. You want to continue to have that one-on-one relationship. So we'll talk about, well, growth pains. When we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig, but before we do, she brought in a quote.
I did bring in a quote. This was one that was cited at our most recent Red Memorial Foundation board meeting, and I just really liked what it said, so I thought I'd bring it along today. Let today be the day I am focused on the task at hand, but committed to the overall goal. Let today be the day I share my ideas and create with others as a team for the betterment of our organization. Let today be the day I offer the best of me to those who support our common goal. Let today be the day that I becomes we, and we focus on all the good we can achieve together as a team. Let today be the day that positive thinking, positive comments, dreaming, creating, sharing, and becoming a team will lift this organization past ordinary into exceptional. Let's do it together today. And that is by Lori Hadorn. Yeah, food for thought.
I have a sudden urge for avocados and sprouts. Actually, I've gotten back into sprouts. It's been 20 years.
Alfalfa or yeah. Bean? Alfalfa sprouts?
Alfalfa, yeah. No, sandwich sprouts. Not those big, long, white things that just... Yeah, I've never gotten into those too much. kind of right up there with bamboo shoots.
Are you taking the vegan road these days?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just something to put on the sandwiches.
Oh, make them a little crunchier,
yeah,
a little healthier.
Exactly. Flashback to when I had a little bit more wiggle room. So let's first talk about the new position that you've assumed,
mm-hmm.
or that was created, I guess, might be as accurate also. Mm-hmm. Was it done because of the expansion activities that the bank is doing right now?
Yes and no. I mean, I would say yes from the standpoint of the bank does continue to grow. We right now, as you know, have a branch in Eureka and a branch in Fortuna, but we are going to be opening in Arcata probably in June. That's our hopeful opening date. We're going to be in the old Wells Fargo building, which had previously been the historic museum, and Humboldt State University housed the museum there up until, they're actually in the process of moving right now. Well, I believe their move is close to completion, and they're now located in the old Figueritos building.
There must be a whole lot of very fragile stuff.
Oh, yeah. It took a very long time for them to move. And, yeah, so anyway, they are down the road, just actually not too far from the current or their previous location, which is where the new Redwood Capital Bank branch will be. They're going to actually paint footsteps from the old historic museum site to the new historic museum site.
Public Works will allow that?
Yeah, the city approved it.
It's really?
It'll be going through the crosswalks, though, of course.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Yeah, but they want to
three steps
sure.
out, yellow, a couple more steps, another yellow boundary line. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Boy, yeah. I could have fun with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
of course, now I've given it away, so I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So we'll be opening that branch here shortly. And, you know, the bank had an incredible year last year. We booked over $52 million in loan originations.
What does that mean?
That means that we as an institution actually put on our books over $52 million in new loans, and almost all of those were within Humboldt County, which is pretty incredible.
A million a week, is that a lot? I mean, not having reference points.
It is a lot, especially from the standpoint of most banks right now. A lot of them are either struggling to hold on to their current levels or, you know, maybe growing but not nearly that quickly, or from the standpoint of that's over 10% growth. And so we had about $35 million in commercial loans, about $5 million in consumer, and then the rest in residential real estate.
That's what I was thinking. If it's a million a week for residential loans, three or four homes. Doesn't sound overwhelming, but...
Well, the other piece of that, too, let me clarify. The piece that is residential are going to be the portfolioed ones versus another piece that we do is the Fannie Mae loans in the secondary market. So those are what we called sold loans. And what that means in a nutshell, Brian, is if you were to come into the bank and you said, okay, I want to buy a new house, then what we would do is sit down with you and just find out a little bit more about, you know, what kind of property you're looking for and so forth. If we can get you qualified in the secondary market, the benefit to you is that we can give you a 30-year fixed rate loan that's going to be in the fours. If for some reason you don't qualify through what we call Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac in the secondary market, we can still look at giving you the loan as long as you'd qualify, but we would have to portfolio that loan, meaning keep it on the bank's books. Now, the difference on that is that if we portfolio the loan, it's not going to be, well, very high risk if you're involved, Brian. No,
yeah,
kidding. But if you have something portfolioed, the disadvantage to you as a borrower is that we can't offer you that 30-year fixed rate. It's going to be something with a variable adjustment factor to it. So as an example, maybe it would have a 5-year adjustment. And so it might be an okay rate for 5 years, but it's going to adjust in 5 years, and who knows where rates are going to be at that time. So, and a lot of times when we have to portfolio loans, many times it's more specific to the property versus the borrower.
Oh, so the type of land?
Yeah, the type of property. Fannie Mae has pretty specific guidelines in terms of what they will allow in terms of selling on the secondary market. So if your particular property doesn't meet their criteria, then that's where we would have to look at something on a portfolioed basis.
So not everybody finances ranch land, for example.
Yeah, so a ranch land, if someone came in, they wanted a ranch property, most likely we would run that commercial, which basically means, again, we'd portfolio it. If it's something that truly is a, say it was a property you and your wife wanted to buy that was, you know, 50 acres and it was on septic and it had a well and it was in, you know, maybe way out in Neyland area, something to that effect. Maybe off the grid, something like that.
Have a radio tower on it, yeah.
Okay.
different ball
something
game then.
Like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be an example of something we'd portfolio.
KINS News and Information Times 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig. Jennifer, the concept of the position, it seems to me that as there's more financial accountability, reporting poundage of governmental regulation, et cetera, that your job has changed. Mm-hmm. Any of the jobs in the lending portion of the bank have changed. Is that a huge change? Is that a medium change? Is it, we can handle it change?
It's definitely a we can handle it change. However, I would say at the same time, it's pretty significant. there's been so much regulation changes and so much from a compliance standpoint that we're always having to be extremely careful and making sure we're always doing our due diligence and conforming to the regulatory requirements. We have a gentleman at the bank who, that's what he does 100% of the time, is just make sure that we're in compliance with all the rules and regulations out there. So if anything, as an example, if anything goes out, you know, advertising or anything, even like, say, a Facebook posting that has any type of sales pitch to it from the bank standpoint, those all have to be reviewed by our compliance team. We had examiners in the bank last month for 3 weeks, and those were actually the external examiners. And, you know, it's just amazing. There have been a lot of
shifts.
Sounds
like they belong at the hospital.
Oh, that was so bad.
But these folks come in on a very regular basis.
Yeah.
So for the management team, over mm-hmm. these folks that have to do you have to come up to speed so that you're at the dangerous level and in knowledge and you know that, well, maybe we need to relook at this thing because that falls under your umbrella of responsibility?
Yeah. And what we always try to do is make sure that we're implementing those things as they come down the pike. So if anything rolls out from a regulatory standpoint that we're in the know on or need to be in the know on, then we get that implemented right away. So if it's anything from our loan applications to certain forms we're using, anything of that nature, we're always going to get those implemented right away. The thing about the examiners that one of the things that we find extremely beneficial is they're very, very knowledgeable, and they should be given their position. But we always will look to them too we look at them as a team effort, you know, from the standpoint of they've been able to provide us with some really great tips, certain things to implement that we've done, which have been very helpful to the bank. And it definitely has become a much more regulatory world. And anyone who applies for a loan can attest to that just because of the information that we need to get.
You mean 10 years ago it was a piece of cake?
It was a piece of paper.
Yeah, right. I remember.
Well, maybe a couple pieces of paper.
But now it's even more so.
Yeah, it's gotten more extensive. And just things like having to sign disclosures. I mean, like as an example, on an equity line of credit, there's like 6 disclosures you need to sign. So all you really need to do is sign them. So it's fairly simple. But, you know, it's still having to go through the package, sign the disclosures, acknowledging that you've read them.
What percentage read them?
Well, they go on the application package, so I really couldn't answer that fairly, but I would say most don't, not in their entirety. They usually have a description at the top of that particular page that will, like as an example, right to receive copy of appraisal. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory that you're going to get a copy of your appraisal. You don't read all the verbiage underneath, you know, and so just things like that.
Not that that would be your professional recommendation for somebody to do.
Oh, I would recommend reading every word in its entirety before you ever sign a document.
Twice.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So what is the responsibility of a senior loan officer? Do you just review all of the various loans that are coming through? Do you monitor those that have already come through? Where's your time spent in this new position?
Well, we actually have 2 positions that are specifically tied to the lending function, and one is our chief credit officer, who is Don Hartman, where I'm the chief lending officer, and we kind of refer to it as he's the brake and I'm the gas. Don Hartman's responsibility as a chief credit officer is to actually approve our loans. And so he is the one who does the final sign off from the standpoint of, yes, he's acknowledging and agreeing that he feels that's a good solid loan and we want to make that loan. Whereas a chief lending officer, my function is a little bit more from the standpoint of looking at the overall process. It's a little bit more on the business development side, the customer satisfaction side.
You're the sales side.
Yeah, I'm the sales side.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I oversee the lenders and underwriters and just making sure that process is smooth. I would say that there's definitely been a much stronger focus on not only business development, but also just ensuring our customers are happy. I think for the most part, we get great ratings at Revit Capital Bank, but we just want to make sure that we've always got that process set up to where we're really meeting the needs of our clients, and we're doing it in a timely manner, and we're doing it on a professional level. And so we're just always wanting to make sure that we're being able to provide our clients what they what their needs are and making sure that we are taking good care of them. There's a, you know, certainly a, again, tying back to what you were talking about, the regulatory world, you know, so there's that balance. And it is a balance.
I really like signing an awful lot of papers. Thank you so much. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig, Senior Vice President, Chief Lending Officer. Ooh, that's a big title. Big desk?
Big desk. No, not a big desk. I've been in three desks for the last 3 months because I'm still waiting for my final desk.
Your final big desk.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We've got one earmarked, but not until Arcata branch opens, and then I will be taking.
Oh, you're sniping a desk.
I am. I am sniping a desk in an office. Yeah.
How tough is growth?
I think if it's managed appropriately, then it certainly has its challenges. There's no doubt about that. But the flip side of it is that I think if you have the appropriate people in the correct positions, that you certainly can get over those hurdles a lot easier. That's one of the things. The bank overall hasn't grown tremendously. I mean, we're 10 years old in March, so we're going to have our 10-year anniversary coming up here shortly.
But three branches from one.
Yeah,
two technically.
And we've been organic. So we started the Eureka branch, and then we built the Fortuna branch.
Organic?
And organic meaning that we started them from scratch, and we'll do the same with Arcata.
Oh.
And the reason that matters is because it's a lot easier to implement your culture, just like you're saying, in the organic way versus an acquisition.
Sure. If you're acquiring and some of the hires are from a previous ownership,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'll be residuals.
Yeah.
But just too many folks that I know with multiple locations, each has its own personality, either because the community has a different demand for mm-hmm. it, or you just got different players. You know, you come in and you laugh, I come in and I grumble.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't laugh. You know, I may still be a nice spirited guy, but I'm not over the top bubbly, and you might be. Two different personalities are going to emanate out of that position. So
mm-hmm.
It's interesting for me. I mean, even McDonald's doesn't try to have the same personality.
Yeah, yeah. No, so, you're spot on that.
So how do you worry about it? Or just say, you know what, everybody's got their own different management style, and as long as we're paying attention to the P's and Q's and the ratings are where they're supposed to be and your client intercept studies are indicating everybody's happy, okay, that's his, that's hers, and we move on.
Well, I think from as far as senior management level goes, we don't necessarily want to have to micromanage our managers and supervisors unless there are problems that arise. One of the most important pieces of what we call the management wheel is making sure that you are picking the right people for those positions. And so you certainly are wanting people that fit with the culture of the institution. Our Fortuna branch manager is Bob Judevine, and our soon-to-be Arcata branch manager is Sue Ringwald. Our Eureka branch manager is Nanette Jones. And I would say that all three of those individuals definitely encompass the very, very strong culture that Redwood Capital Bank represents.
But different personalities.
Absolutely different personalities.
Like that free ice cream thing down south. I mean, that was a great move by Bob to do that.
You must be talking about his bonbonier days.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah, Bob was the previous owner of bonbonier ice cream many moons ago. But yeah, no, they all have their own personalities, but really great personalities. And I think that, so each branch absolutely will will operate within its own culture, but as a whole, I think that the bank has a very solid culture, which again was all started by John Dalby. And the board of directors, our board of directors, as well as the senior management team, really encompasses that culture. And I think that has allowed us to continue. Our main focus is always going to be customer service.
Is it a written culture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a written culture. We have our 10 core values. And actually, John reads one of those each staff meeting. So that just to kind of remind our folks, you know, what our core values are. And I think it's just kind of carried out in the way that we do business every single day. Some of the things we do, as an example, our staff meetings, we give what we call love deposits. And that's just thanking the staff members for anything that they do a little bit above and beyond their normal day-to-day job. And it's just that kind of taking that time to recognize the appreciation that we have for each other as employees.
So let's move away from the bank setting or scenario. Let's go into, let's say, a retail. Okay. Could the same thing be replicated?
I think it can be to a degree. I mean, we're certainly a service organization, which is a little bit different than retail, of course. But when you talk about customer service levels, I mean, that's what Nordstrom's has built their business on, is they can charge the higher price from a retail standpoint, but people are going to go in and pay that because they get that extraordinary customer service. And so I do think that the institutions can strive for it. As you get very, very large, like the Neiman Marcus's of the world, you do lose it a little bit, but I do think, again, that it comes down to when you hire your employees, you have to make sure they're a good cultural fit for your particular institution. And that also means having a process in place where when you go through the interviewing process, you ask the right questions to know if that person is a good fit.
I would think that in a retail scenario, most people have a sense, because they've probably experienced it themselves. They may not be able to identify what it is.
A sense of what?
Whatever the culture is in that business.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if it's a Nordstrom, okay, it's one thing. If it's Macy's, okay, it's a different thing. If it's Bob's Garments, it's something else.
Yeah.
To quantify that, though, would be very difficult. But is it more difficult to replicate it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can be challenging to replicate it because, I mean, everyone also has their own definition of what good customer service is. And so, you know, if you have, I mean, you're right as far as quantification goes, but go back to the Nordstrom example. You know, how many people would go in and spend $500 on a suit at Bob's Garments, maybe, that is more of a low-end men's suit attire store? As
sure.
An example. So, but how much of that they're actually paying for really good customer service, where you walk in, you have someone who comes up and greets you, someone who's going to go with you to the changing room and stand outside, and they're going to swap out your clothes for you. They're going to be able to tailor your garments for you if needed.
Well, right, let's put Arthur Johnson's Resurrect. Oof, okay.
Yeah.
Compared to Nordstrom's. Both quality, but different levels.
Mm-hmm.
An independent versus a chain.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who may not have quite as deep a pocket versus the guy that has what would appear to be unlimited pockets, privately held versus publicly traded. I mean, there's a lot of counter comparisons there.
Mm-hmm.
Could the same standard of customer service be met by both? Or do you have to kind of niche that just as you do your product line, just as you do your personnel, just as you do everything else in that business?
Well, and I remember the Arthur Johnson's days. I mean, that was quite a while back, but my recollection of that store was it had a really great reputation for taking care of their customers, and of course there's another element there too, and that would be the piece of shopping local. You know, so there's going to be people maybe that would support an Arthur Johnson's just because they are locally owned. And by shopping locally, you are keeping money in the community.
More sensitive now than what it used to be with
the
trips to Santa Rosa or to Medford or Reading.
Right. The days of daily.
Boy, did your eyes light up on that one.
Shopping?
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll return with more from Jennifer Budwig.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig. Happy President's Day, everybody. Stupid, weird, off-the-wall question. Why is Andrew Jackson on the 20? I don't have an answer.
I have no answer.
It was
for
a discussion
you.
We had this morning, kicking around, and I just.
I bet if you Googled it, you could find out, but I can't answer that question.
Well, that would be the computer thing again.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. So customer service is one of the components that you folks look for with loans.
Mm-hmm.
How do you put a dollar sign on that stuff or any intangible, either for an existing business who's looking for an equity line or for somebody who has a startup and here it is, guys, here's my business plan. And there's a huge component in there of intangibleness.
Mm-hmm.
Does it factor in or is it kind of put to the side because you can't really put a quantification on that?
I think the bottom line is the bottom line. It's going to speak for itself. So repeat business is what I would say to that. If you go into a store and you have an exceptional experience as far as customer service goes, the person who waited on you was extremely friendly. They were very helpful. They were very pleasant. You walked out of that store with a big smile on your face. And odds are you're going to go back and you're going to do business there again. And you might tell your friends about that particular store. If you go in there and you have a terrible experience and the customer service was not good, you felt like the store looked sloppy, you felt like your bottom line, your needs weren't met, and you walked out of there with a bad experience, you're probably not going to go back. So repeat right. customers is what's going to quantify that.
But in a... I guess it would be a business plan. So mm-hmm. there is nothing yet. We have in there extraordinary, and here's how we define it.
Yeah.
You're looking at that going, okay, interesting. Tell me more. Obviously it's plus, but it could also be just lip service.
Yeah, and part of that would be dependent upon, because I've looked at a lot of business plans, and sometimes some of them do hit on that element of it, especially in a service business, because the customer service piece of it is really critical in a service industry or service business. So some of them address it, some of them don't. Some of them are way more focused on things like margin and, you know, competition and market share and things of that nature, but a lot of it ties back to that. So how are you going to get your market share? Is it because you're going to, you know, what's your competitive edge is kind of what that boils down to, and also your niche.
So that kind of flushes it out for you. It doesn't necessarily make or break a loan.
No, I wouldn't say it would make or break a loan. I mean, honestly, we don't do a lot of startups. There's a couple of different folks locally that specialize in startups, which is REDEC or AEDC. One's in Eureka and one's in Arcata. They're definitely catering more towards the startups. But I did economic fuel competition. I judged it for 7 years. And that was one of the things. It was always interesting because that would always catch my eye a little bit in terms of, okay, who's addressing this and who isn't?
Or recognizing its existence.
Right. And if you bring it up to them, of course, they're going to have the best customer service on the planet. That's just the way it's going to be.
And here's how we're going to pay for it. Thanks for coming by.
You're so welcome. Well, always a pleasure, Brian.
Those almost look like Racing Tiger glasses, almost.
They are.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Until then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.